Good morning. So this guy's name was Brett. Let me see if I've got slides yet. My pastor in Colorado, you hear something funny? My pastor in Colorado just got a remote for the slides. I'm so happy about it. But he's still in that stage where he uses it like a TV remote. So he's like, and I'm hoping that gets over that through the summer. There we go. Non-Latin scholars, it means I'm guilty. So this guy's name was Brett. And he and his mom and dad joined our last team this summer late. Like, they came from London. They were friends of the church that sent this team. A team of like 30 people that I led a couple weeks ago in our city in Sicily. So it was like way too big, and it wasn't smart to lead them to start with. But then these guys joined, and Brett was their son. And I judged the heck out of this kid. He was only like 19, but he had just finished like his first stage of medical school in London. So he's like an associate physician or something. He wasn't like an assistant to a physician, but he's an associate physician on his way to become a doctor. He was tall. Turned out he was really good at talking to Muslims about Jesus. And he had this killer British accent. He was an American passport, but killer British accent that made all the girls on the team. I'd show you a picture of him, but half of you all would swoon. And somehow, these guys, this team, they had practiced a skit that they wanted to do for people in Sicily. They practiced for months. And Brett showed up late. And he was Jesus in the skit. He was that kind of person. I looked at him and went, how did Brett get to be Jesus? And I felt bad for the kid who was Jesus like all through the summer and up to like the time to perform. And then they went, sorry, Brett's here, dude. Get back. You're doing, you wear these chains. You have a black t-shirt. Brett's, I judged this guy. And I gossiped about him. I imagined in my mind all these private sins that he was harboring that nobody, it's terrible. Now, some of the, you know, he would show up late, and there are like 40 of us are waiting for him, and you know, that's legitimate annoyance, but, oh, I judge this guy. Turns out, I have judged you all. Now, some of you are aware of this. Some of you are going, serious? But no, really, for real and true. You know, if you've heard me speak before, you know I've got this thing about Muslims. I've got this hope and this dream that tens of millions of Muslims will follow Jesus, and I think sometimes I give off this vibe. That if you're into something else, then, well, you know, bless your heart, but you just don't measure up. And if you felt that from me, because I think maybe sometimes I say it explicitly, but also I think it kind of oozes out. And I don't want to think that way. I don't want to be that way. So I apologize if you felt that, which is like a really sucky apology, right? If you felt bad, I'm sorry. But I apologize if I've done that to you. This is out of line. So, those things and other things that are, I'm not even going to tell you about, judgy kind of things, that kind of lead us up to our text for this morning. Now, you know, I've shared with you all before that usually I get lucky on stepping into the series, and you know, I get to show up and say, God really totally loves you, and he's taking care of your sins, and God has a mind for your life to count, and stuff like that. I don't often have to show up and say, you know, it's probably not a good idea to sleep with your girlfriend before you marry her, and it's probably not a good idea to cheat your boss. But I is not so lucky this morning, because as we all go through the Sermon on the Mount, the lot that has dropped to me is the start of chapter 7, which this is unlucky, you know, but I like Matt, and I like talking to you, so I figured take the bad with the good. And so here's our text for this morning. Jesus saying to these people gathered listening to him, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. As close as you'll see Jesus get to karma, the way you do is going to come back around to be done to you. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Don't give to dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. It's kind of heavy, huh? Yeah, dang. Now, part of the reason why I'm a little reluctant to share this with you is because, you know, I listened, like many of you did, listened to Jennifer Stanley's talk Like, it's full on sermon, right? Listen to her preach her sermon a couple, 3 weeks ago, whenever that was, and you know, feeling stuff about vainglory. And even though I listened to it, I still have it. I don't know if you have vainglory or you want vainglory. Whatever, you know, the bad side of that, it's still me. So I want you guys to like me. So I think if I tell you, don't judge, it's going to sound all scoldy and you might not like me. Last thing I want to do is scold you guys. What I hope we can do with this passage, even though it's a little scoldy, don't judge or you're going to get judged. What I hope we can do is together think through, what is Jesus saying here? And what does it mean to live out this stuff that Jesus is saying here? Now, if this, like Jeremy said, if this is your first time to Commonway, good for you. Glad you're here. You know, some money goes to Charity Water because you showed up. If it's your first time here and you go, I'm a little surprised that they take this judging passage seriously, because I thought that's what Christians did. I thought Christians judged people. I thought it was like that you get a t-shirt. I'm your judge now. I'm part of the club. I apologize for that, because Christians generally, and again, most of you I don't know personally, so I'm not saying this about you personally. Jesus may be saying it about you, but I'm not. But generally, we have kind of earned that reputation, honestly, for judging people. So the trick is, what do we do with this passage? How do we take the action that Jesus has in mind for this? Now, this is a passage that has gotten abused, taken out of context, used like a blunt weapon to bash people around, and you've heard it, right? Don't judge me. I live presently in a house with a lot of women, and there's this vibe that flows, don't judge me. What are you doing? Sometimes when you hear don't judge me, and this is not reflective of my domestic situation, mind you, but sometimes when you hear don't judge me, what is being said is, hey, I cannot live up to your standard. I have tried. Could you just stop? Could you just back up? I can't live up to it. Sometimes that's what is going on when people say, stop judging me. Sometimes when people say, stop judging me, what they're doing is saying, can't we just get along? When you judge, when you say that what I'm doing is wrong, and the implication is that what you're doing is right, then how come your right needs to be my right? You know, we live in a time where that's sort of, it's percolated to the top of our discussion. People, don't judge me. Don't say that this is the way it should be and other ways shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be right. Sometimes when people say, don't judge me, honest and true, they're just saying, get out of my business, man. I want to do what I want to do. I don't care if you don't like tattoos. I will do what I want to do. I don't care if you don't like these people that I'm hanging out with. Again, this is not my house. I don't care if you don't like these people I'm hanging out with. Don't judge me. They're my friends. Sometimes people say, don't judge me, not because you're judging them, just because they want to do what they want to do. And probably we say, don't judge me, because we want to do what we want to do. Even those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, there's a battle raging. Or maybe you've just like given up and there's no battle anymore. I just do what I want to do. Don't judge me. Bring your Bible over here. I'll do what I want. I suppose sometimes people say, don't judge me. And what they're really saying is, judge me. Condemn me. I've condemned myself. And so it fits with the way I see the world if you judge me. So I'll squawk and I'll say, don't judge, but do it. Because your condemnation simply reinforces my own condemnation, and I know already. So this is a messy, tricky bit of text that we need to deal with. Now, I suppose, as Matt is wont to say, that maybe there's more going on here than simply, thanks for appreciating that. I'll forget like my three main points, but I remember to say that one little cute thing. There's more going on here than just Jesus scolding these guys. There's some weighty, helpful, important stuff for us to think about. Now, I want us to start thinking about this, framing it in, should have shown you that for a minute, framing it in the flow of this whole sermon. Now, assuming that Jesus is sharing this stuff in a common setting, speaking this way because he's a great teacher, letting it unfold in the natural arc of his talk and his interaction with these guys, it fits in the rest of the sermon. Hopefully, one of the things you've got over the course of the summer, if you've been here, you've been listening to the podcast, is this, that you are safe with God. In his kingdom, you are accepted. You are loved. God has your back. You are okay. One of the things I loved about Jennifer's talk was the way that came through. And it was helpful for me. I hope it was helpful for you. You know, you don't want to pursue all this glory and honor for yourself, because in the kingdom of God, you've got it. You fit. You belong. You're okay. And I think with chapter 7, to start with, Jesus starts saying, don't judge other people. Some of, and I would never say what Jesus is saying is this, because probably what Jesus is saying is this. But at least some of what Jesus is saying is, other people are okay too. Other people are all right. Other people maybe don't require you to judge them, because God's got their back as well. So in that context, in the flow of the sermon, that in the kingdom of God you fit, you belong, you matter, you're accepted. Chapter 7, we start with, other people do too. And so that shapes, that frames the way we interact with them and what we do in terms of talking to them. Now, part of the problem with this don't judge is the fact that when we think about judging, it has a variety of meanings. And in the context of the New Testament, there are a variety of ways that judging comes across. And if you get too blanket about it, you realize it's absurd. And so you think, well, we got to judge. So what is okay judging? What is not okay judging? Now, I want to kind of tease that out a little bit here and think about what some of these meanings are. Jesus is not warning us. One of the ways to think about judging is you got to decide, is this okay or not? Somebody has to take the lid off of that Tupperware in the refrigerator and go, no, or it's fine for the kids, or whatever, however you deal with that. There's judging you have to do. And Jesus is not saying, don't ever think about stuff. Don't discern things. He's also not saying, so that's one. This deciding is one of the ways to think about judging. There's a law court kind of association to this, and then there's this condemning association. So Jesus isn't saying you can't discern truth from error. He says in Matthew 7:15, just a few verses down, you know, in the context of his sermon, not many minutes later, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Recognize them. So that's judging, right? Watch out, discern. Decide if something is true or not. Now, if Jesus were preaching Sermon on the Mount today, he might say, you start judging when you make a whole Facebook page to say, here are the people who are saying bad stuff. Or whole anti-this guy or anti-that guy websites. He says, but think about it. You're fine. It's okay to think about stuff. We're given latitude to do that. Paul goes on. Let me back up here for a second. Jesus doesn't oppose offering correction, but offering correction in the wrong spirit. So he's not saying don't think about stuff, don't discern. He's also not saying never help somebody out. Because that's one way to deal with this passage, right? I'm not going to judge you. Driving 95 miles an hour down McGalliard? It's your life, buddy. I don't care. Buying a motorcycle? Are you serious? Do you know? It's your life. I'm not going to judge you. And again, that was just to be funny to Matt. So Jesus is not saying you don't offer correction. You got to correct your kids. If you know how to correct your kids, you can let me know. I'd appreciate that. But there's... It's more the spirit of the matter than it is, can we do it or not? So Jesus says, we got to offer correction. In Matthew 18, deeper into the book, he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. I'm glad I'm not here for that one, because who wants to do that? But Jesus said, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, they listen to you, you have won them over. So as followers of Jesus, now not as like super elite on staff at a church, but like normal people, us, Jesus says, you know, if your brother is sinning, go and deal, talk to him about it. So there is encouragement to do that. Paul helps us understand this in Galatians 6:1. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch out yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So when Jesus says, don't judge, he's not saying, it's just let everybody be, you know, it's cool. It's not cool. Someone close to you is flying their plane into a mountainside, and you just stand by, it's not cool. But the trick is, how do you do this gently? How do you watch out? How do you go in the right spirit? Those things are the challenges. So when Jesus says don't judge, he's not telling us never interact with people. Never help people deal with stuff that needs to be dealt with. Saying, watch out for this condemnation. Ben Witherington, who was quoted here a couple weeks ago, he spoke here a couple years ago. I think maybe he's becoming the common way N.T. Wright, perhaps. He's the president at Asbury. He said this about this passage. It has to do with passing full and final judgment on someone's life or even their souls. Jesus says, don't judge. He's talking about this condemning sense. And just to put it like plainly, he's talking about damning people to hell. And that's an extreme way to think about it, but that's what Jesus is saying. Don't do that. Witherington goes on and says, only God has the right, the knowledge, the authority to do that thing. Jesus is preventing his followers from assuming the posture of judge, jury, and executioner of someone else's foibles and deeming them irretrievably lost and undoubtedly heading for outer darkness. Now, I want you to think for just a minute. And again, this is kind of out there at the extreme. So maybe you go, I don't think I've ever like damned somebody to hell. Well, that one time, but they were in a different car. They didn't know. But just think, is it sometimes that's what's actually churning in our brains? It may be sometimes coming out of our mouths when we judge somebody. You know, for me and Brett on that team in Catania, I just wanted him to go back to London. I don't want him to go to hell. But sometimes there are situations where that's what we're doing. And Jesus says, that's God's job. It's God's job to do that thing. It is not our job. And what happens when we take that job, we pull God out of the picture. And I love, the talk that Matt did about worry, maybe last week, the week before, I kind of like crammed the podcast, so I don't know when this actually happened. It happened in real time for most of you. For me, it happened yesterday and the day before. I loved what Matt said about when we worry, what we're doing essentially is pulling God out of the equation. And when we judge, we are pulling God out of the equation. And what Jesus is trying to do with this whole sermon is say, you are part of this kingdom. You fit in this thing that I'm inaugurating, this new way of everything that God is bringing to bear on the planet. And in this new way, God is central. And God's work will be done by God. And we can let God do it. And we don't have to worry. And we don't have to judge. We don't have to condemn people to eternal darkness. Now, with all that in mind, let me ask you this. Why is it so dang fun? Why is it that everything that we can't do is like really fun to do? Because it's fun to judge people. Now, you can sit there and you can smirk if you want, but you know it, right? It's fun to go, oh, man, what a loser. Sitting on the plane yesterday, watching somebody drag this bag, and I'm just going, what kind of person brings that bag on this kind of plane? I want to see that in about 3 minutes. Yeah, sure enough, I knew. When they drag it out to get, because it wouldn't fit anywhere. You know, I feel good about myself, man. I knew. I evaluated my bag fits. Rock on, good for me. It feels nice, right? Maybe not for you. Maybe you go, I'm never listening to you preach again, dude, because you're a wreck. I am a wreck. Why is it so appealing? Because we judge to fix and we judge to fluff. We judge to fix people and we judge to fluff ourselves up. Fluff doesn't quite get it, but it starts with the same letters, fix. So I just like, compromise. We judge to fix people. Now, Let me say this tentatively about judging to fix. I think there is something in us that harkens way back to what we were originally designed for. You know, we were made to tend this garden, to develop the all that this planet would come to be. We were designed to fix stuff, to prune and develop and grow. And so sometimes when you want to fix somebody, it is coming out of that kind of deep down nature of who we are. Now, I understand that at lunch today, there's going to be some conflict because somebody's going to say, spouse, the guy said it's divine that I should fix you. And the spouse will say, spouse, I don't think he knew what he was talking about. So apologize ahead of time for that. But there is something about us that wants to bring the stuff of God to bear on the planet. When my two younger kids fought one time, I mean, did your kids ever fight? My kids had a fight a couple weeks ago. And like 1 week ago and probably an hour ago, but I wasn't there for it. Sometimes when they're having conflict, I want to fix it. Sometimes I want to fix it because I just like some peace and quiet because I'm trying to look at Facebook here. Sometimes I want to fix it for a little bit like deeper, more valuable motive perhaps because I want these two to grow up and to mature and find ways to relate to one another. Find ways to relate to one another so that they love each other, so that stuff gets done around the house, so that 10 years from now, when there's an event, they both come to the event and they're happy that the other one's there. But sometimes I just want some peace, quiet. Yeah, I just want to fix them. So I think this fixing thing may have some deeper stuff about it. The trouble is, though, that fixing doesn't work so well. Trying to fix somebody, this corrective judging of somebody, it doesn't accomplish what we want. Here's some reasons why the judging to fix doesn't work, that it fails, because it doesn't flow out of a heart of love. A lot of times, again, I'm not scolding you, I'm not accusing you. You think if this is true of you. I'm just saying, this is true of me. Sometimes I'll judge someone, I'll scold them, I'll try to fix them, not because I love them, but because I want what I want. I want things to be good for me, so you've got to be different if things are going to be the way I want them. And I'm not thinking, you know, what does this person need? I'm not thinking what's going to help them. I'm not thinking, what is Jesus saying to them? I just want it to be the way I want it to be. It's not a heart of love. It skips the step of recognition. When you judge somebody, when you try to fix them, what you do is you hopscotch over them realizing that there's a problem. Now, I can imagine some of the pushback for that would be, they haven't realized it in like 8 years. I don't think they're going to get it unless I tell them. Yeah, I'll give you that. But when you say, here's your problem, here's where you're falling short, this is what needs to be different about you, why do you always do that? You're not allowing them to go, whoa, I've got a deal here. I have an issue. And you skip over that, and you know when people do it to you. What does that spawn? Like instant defensiveness. Somehow, we got to find a way to let people realize this is what's going on for them. Maybe they don't need us to point it out. Oftentimes, judging to fix tears down but fails to rebuild. I suppose many of us have felt this. Somebody in authority, parent, relative, teacher, boss, cool person who's in authority because you deferred authority to the cool person, they just eviscerated you. And the sad thing was, what they said was pretty true. You knew it. You knew you had these faults. You knew you had these shortcomings. You didn't need them blaring it all over the office email. You didn't need them yelling it at you in the hallway. But what didn't happen was there was no restoration there. You get the problem. You know you suck. You don't need somebody to tell you you suck. You know you suck, but how do you unsuck? You know, how do I fix this? So sometimes that judging happens, the tear down, without the restoration. And part of the reason that happens is because it takes like 5 minutes to like thoroughly judge somebody. If you're good at it, maybe you can do it a minute and a half. But to like help somebody deal with something, that takes a long time. And you might have to buy them coffee. And you might have to listen to their sad tale of woe again. And all of this investment, this is a lot easier just to blast them and go on. And so it doesn't work. You know, occasionally, rarely, just enough does judging to fix work that we go, well, I'm going to keep trying it. But almost never does. Doesn't work because of this. Because we're usually wrong. Now again, I'm not saying this about you. I'm saying about us collectively, about me. We are usually wrong about what's going on. Because we don't see. Now, at the risk of being like super cheesy, there's this great quote you've probably seen on Facebook. Maybe written by this guy named John Watson. Who knows? It's attributed all over the place. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Abraham Lincoln. But he says, be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. I need to be reminded of that sometimes. You know, maybe the dope dragging the giant suitcase down the aisle of the plane is going home to her mother's wake. The mom that she didn't talk to the whole last year because they had some little fit with each other. And she doesn't know how she's dealing with anything, let alone deciding what to wear. So take it all. You don't know what kind of battles I'm facing. I don't know what kind of battles you're facing. So if we judge somebody, we're probably going to miss it, right? On this team last couple weeks ago in Catania, it was this huge team of all these people from this church in South Carolina. And it was pretty clear to me pretty early on, I don't know these guys. I don't know what they're dealing with. So one girl on the team, her dad is like a semi-famous singer at a ski resort in Colorado, where he goes off. The family lives in South Carolina. He leaves in September or so, and he stays until April or so. And I said, do you go visit him? No. It's like, wow. You know, that walking that path will shape you. Another young woman on the team, she is the heir apparent. You're not going to hear this very often. She is the heir apparent of the family's funeral home business. That in itself will shape you, won't it? That I'm going to grow up and I'm going to run our funeral home business. She killed it with the best quote of the week. One of the girls on the team got a cut, and you know how things can get like, oh, crazy really fast. Like, oh, maybe she needs stitches. And on the group messaging app, it's fine. Oh, really? Everybody come see what's going on. And Catherine posted on that group messaging app, if she needs it, remember, she's the heir apparent of the funeral home business. If she needs it, I know how to suture. She'll just have to lie very, very still. And that made me happy for like the next 2 days, just that she would say that. But you don't know. We don't know what people are dealing with, so we're going to miss it. So how do we deal with this? How do we put this passage into action? What are we going to do with it? Well, you know, a few things. Let's go on and look at the well, this is part of we don't know. God does know what's going on, and Paul says love always protects. Jesus goes on after he says, don't judge, you're going to get judged if you do. And he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye, the board in your eye? Now, some of you grew up in church, right? And you heard this story in Sunday school, and you saw the goofy clip art about it, and it no longer has any kind of punch for you. But what Jesus is doing, your Lord and Savior Jesus, who died on the cross for you, he's telling a joke, and he is working the crowd. And I suspect this was hilarious when he did this. And he goes, you idiot, what I don't know, whatever it was, you goofballs, listen to me. You got a board in your eye, and you're going, let me help you with that speck. It's ridiculous. There's this hyperbole and this sarcasm. And he was being a little scoldy with them. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a board in your own eye? You hypocrite. You actor, you like false face. That's probably the, you know, goofball, dork, whatever. First, take the plank out of your own eye. And then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And then he goes on with this thing. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What? What are you saying? Well, here's some of what he's saying. First, you got to deal with your plank eye disease. And that was the cheesy photo. You only get two photos. The next one is even cheesier, so get ready for that. What is Jesus trying? Obviously, this is hyperbole. It's sarcasm. It's a joke. But what is he trying to say here? Now, there are all kinds of interpretations of this. I was looking at some of them. Some people say you got to deal with your own stuff. And I think that's right, you know? Probably you don't want to be driving down McGalliard going, hey, don't cut me off, you idiot, when you're stuffing your fourth Big Mac into your face. You know, and you shouldn't talk that way. And, you know, if you're a glutton, you shouldn't be judging people for other, you know, probably there's some of that. Get your stuff in order. But that kind of goes against some of what Jesus is saying here. It's not like you graduate to a place where you can tell other people what they can and can't do. Another author says that this plank, when Jesus says, you got a plank in your own eye, the plank is this condemning, judging kind of activity. And Jesus is saying, get that judging stuff out of your own face. And then you can help other people. Now, I don't know if it's right or not, but it makes sense to me. Get rid of this habit of damning people to hell. And then you can actually help some people, maybe. Then Jesus goes on, he says, don't give dogs what is holy. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Got to give you a pig and pearl picture. There you go. Now, this is a command I can deal with. You know, some of Jesus' commands I have a hard time with. I have no trouble with not throwing pigs pearls. I'm cool with that. We were at the county fair this whole last week, and there are pigs all over the place. I did not throw a single pearl. In my mind, I thought about throwing pearls, but I didn't. I resisted the temptation. You can go out here victors in Christ. You don't throw pearls to pigs. You don't give dogs what is holy. What is Jesus saying here? Sometimes we think one way to interpret this is Jesus saying, don't give people stuff that they don't merit. They're not qualified for. That kind of rankles me a little bit. I wonder, and I'll share this with you tentatively because I don't know if this is the way to think about it. You know, honestly, Jesus is saying this stuff in a language that we don't speak. And it was written down in another language, unless you're mad or some other really smart people here, that we don't speak. And it was spoken originally in a live setting, in a culture and a time that we have really no conception of. And it was a joke. So if we don't get it, that's all right. You don't get some stuff. So I wonder if perhaps we just don't get this. But not getting it is an excuse to go, well, I'm not going to worry about it. And frankly, maybe I don't get the whole rest of the New Testament, all this other stuff Jesus said. So I don't want to abdicate. So maybe what Jesus is saying here, what I think he might be doing with this, don't give dogs what is holy, don't give pearls to swine, because he doesn't talk about other people that way. Jesus gives all kinds of grief to the religious leaders, but he doesn't talk about non-religious, non-self-righteous people in those kind of terms. Those are the terms of the religious, self-righteous elite, to call the Gentiles dogs, pigs. So I suspect maybe what's going on here, Jesus continuing the hyperbole, continuing the sarcasm, and he says, and you gotta, if you're gonna mock somebody, you wanna do it in a British accent, he says, don't give dogs what is holy. That's what you guys say. How ridiculous is that? Don't throw your pearls before a swine. Of course not. Because you know what? They're gonna turn and they're gonna tear your head off, and nobody's gonna blame them. Because they are not dogs and they are not swine. Stop judging these other people. That is God's job, and they are safe in the kingdom of God. He has made a place for them. I think that might be what's going on there when Jesus says, don't give dogs what's holy, don't give pearls of swine. You can counter me on that if you want, but I think that may be what's taking off. So what do we do with this? I need to wrap this up. Here, general application, chapter 7, verse 12, just few minutes later in the talk, Jesus says, so in everything, darn it, everything, seriously everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, this probably is next week's sermon or a week after that, so I don't pirate from Matt what he's going to say, but generally, this is how you deal with judging. Don't judge people if you don't want them judging you. Judge them the way that you want them to judge you. What do we want? We want people to know us, and we want people to accept us. So judge people that way. one of our guys from way back when, John Wesley, he says this. Now, Wesley was a British guy, and you know, he was writing in a different time. So work through this. It's a little bit controversial. He says, do not unto another what you would not he should do unto you. Basically, don't do to other people what you don't want them doing to you. And if you do that, you will never more judge your neighbor. Don't do to other people what you don't want them doing to you, and you're not going to judge people. Never causelessly or lightly think evil of anyone. Just let that sink in for a minute. Never causelessly or lightly think evil of somebody else, much less when you speak evil. Much less will you speak evil. You will never mention even the real fault of an absent person. If you determine not to judge people the way you don't want to be judged, you're not going to talk about their evil. You don't want people talking about your evil. Now, specific application. Don't gossip. If you want to put this into action, if you want to think, Jesus said, don't judge, because you're going to get judged if you do. And I just thought you got to get rid of the plank and don't give the pigs the pearls and all that. If you want to try to walk this out, I want to invite you to walk it out with me this week. And here's the challenge. 3 straight days. Don't say negative stuff about people outside of their presence. You can decide, because we can spend like a long time going, what is gossip and what is it? Is it okay if I say, I think they're sleeping around, if I then say we should pray for them? Does that make it all right? Is it okay to say, I don't know if this is really true, but this is what this guy said, and it may have some impact on you, so I thought I'd share. Does that make... You figure that out in your car on the way home. We're close enough to a common definition. Don't say bad stuff about people when they're not there. Because you're not going to say bad stuff when you're there because you're afraid, right? I get that. So don't say bad stuff about people when they're not present for 3 consecutive days. Now, if you can't do 3 consecutive days, 1 day is great. Start where you are. If you come back next week and you did 3 non-consecutive days, if I were here, I would pat you on the back and say, attaboy, girl. Good for you. What would it be like if those of us who publicly wear the name Christian got to be known for words of kindness and words of life and words of hope in increasing ways, because perhaps you already are. Good for you. What if we were less known for judging people? Less known for, I don't know how they get the authority to do that, but it sounds like they're sending everybody to hell. What if we were known for words of life? Now, what happens if you're trying not to gossip and you're hanging out at, let's just say, your small group and somebody starts to gossip? What do you do then? Well, you judge the heck out of them. You go, we're not gossiping. No, don't do that. Then you have to start over at day 0. Sometimes it's hard not to be self-righteous in that context, right? Sometimes maybe you just need to walk away. I got to get a, you know, don't just walk away because you're gossiping, so I cannot be in your presence. Not, you know, like that, but just like, got to get a drink. Somebody said something I thought was very cogent and helpful. Said if you're hanging out with a group of people, you're chatting, and somebody starts bashing on somebody else, before it gets too far, say something positive about that person. You know Brian a lot better than I do, but seems to be a pretty generous guy to me. Everybody look at him and go, huh. But it might just be enough to put a little bit of a halt. And you can do it without acting like, since I'm no spiritual person here, I think I need to call us to stop gossip. It's just like, just introduce a little bit of positive in there. But that's a challenge for me, for you, if you want to take it up. 3 consecutive days. Don't say negative stuff about other people if they're not there. And this gets us walking the walk toward Jesus saying, don't judge people. It's God's job. God's got that under control. You join me in that? Do it? Let me pray for us. And then I think I just get to dismiss you all. I get to tell you to go home, so that's kind of fun. So let's, you want to stand up to pray? And let's seek God's help, because, you know, honestly, we want to follow Jesus, right? We don't want to be these arrogant, super spiritual, everybody hates us kind of people. But we also don't want to live in the ditch and live in this muck of sin that ends up destroying us. The people you judge, they're going to go on, you know? They're going to make it. It messes with us. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much that you have preserved this teaching of Jesus for our benefit. Thank you, Father, that Jesus came to earth to live like us, to live among us, to die for us. Lord, we are very grateful. Thank you that you have called us into your kingdom to be your children, to be co-heirs, Jesus, of all that you're doing, to be partners with the God of heaven and earth and your work on this planet. Lord, I pray for your help this week, God, that you would help us to understand what Jesus is asking and you would help us to walk it out. Relying on you, Lord, your grace, the empowering of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray specifically for me and for my friends here at Common Way that you would help us to gossip less this week. Lord, if it's an issue, help us to go a day or two or three without gossiping. And Lord, broadly, may your people be known more and more as those who come with words of life and not words of judgment. We rest in you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.